verse 7. And it reads as follows. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The title of my message this morning is God is in control. God is in control. My Heavenly Father, as I step back, O Lord, and you step forward, use me, O Lord. I ask thy Heavenly Father that you open minds, hearts, and soul. Place upon them your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding that only you can give, thy Heavenly Father, not man. Thy Heavenly Father, let your spirit fill this room, thy Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God is in control. God is in control. How can I learn to trust that God is in control? Well, before we can answer that question, to learn that God is in control of all of life's circumstances, we have to answer four questions. I have four questions I want to bring forth this evening. I'm sorry, this morning. The first question is God really in control? Think about it. With all the things that are happening around the world, is God really in control? The concept of control of God over everything is called the sovereign of God. Nothing gives us strength and confidence like understanding the sovereignty of God in our lives. You see, God's sovereignty is defined as his complete and total independent control over every creature, event, and circumstances at every moment in history. Subject to none, influenced by none, absolutely independent, God does what he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. You see, God is in complete control of every molecule in the universe at every moment, and everything that happens, it's either caused or allowed by him for his own perfect purpose. You see, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have proposed, so it shall stand. Isaiah 14 and 24. Nothing is random or comes by chance, especially not in the lives of us, the believers. He proposed it. That means to intentionally resolve to do something. God has resolved to do what he will do, and nothing and no one stands in his way. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 46 and 10. That is our powerful purpose God, who is in control of everything, that should bring us great confidence and help to alleviate our fears. When you think? Question number two. How much control does he have? 50%? 70%? How much control does God have? Exactly, how much control does God have? God's total sovereignty over all creation directly contradicts the philosophy of quote-unquote man. You see, man has a philosophy that is called open theism, which states that God doesn't know what's going to happen in the future any more than we do. He has to continuously change his plans and reacting to what the sinful creatures do as they exercise quote-unquote, free will. See, what man doesn't understand, he places in his own philosophy so he can understand what God is doing. So he creates different things, different situations that make sense to him, and then he spread it abroad. God isn't finding out what's going to happen as events unfold. He is continuously, actively running things, all things, here and now. But to think he needs our cooperation, our help, or the exercise of our free will to bring his plans to pass, put us in control over him, which makes us gods. Where have we heard that before? It's a rehash of Satan's same old lie from the garden, ye shall be like gods. You remember that in Genesis 3? Our wills are only free to the extent that God allows us that freedom and no further. You see, all peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" No one's free will trumps the sovereignty of God. Question number 3. If he is not in complete control, then who and what is? I told my children, and I tell them to this day, from the time they were growing up until now, that if you don't control every aspect of your life, I guarantee you someone else will. That is a fact. You see, some people find it appealing to think that Satan has control over a certain amount of life, that God is constantly revising his plan to accommodate Satan's tricks. The book of Job is a clear illustration of just who has the sovereign power and who doesn't. Satan came to God in the effort and said, "Job only serves you because you protect him." So God gave Satan permission to do certain things to Job, but no more. Could Satan do more than that? Absolutely not. God is in control of Satan and his demons who try to dwarf God's plan at every step. You see, Satan knew from the Old Testament that God's plan was for Jesus to come to earth, be betrayed, crucified, and resurrected, and provide salvation for many, for millions. If there was any way to keep that from happening, wouldn't Satan have done so? If just one of hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah could have been caused by Satan to fail to come to pass, the whole thing would have collapsed. But the number of independent free will decisions made by thousands of people were designed by God to bring his plan to pass in exactly the way he had planned it from the beginning, and Satan couldn't do anything about it. Think about that. Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2:23. No actions by the Romans, the Pharisees, Judas, or anyone else could keep God's plan from unfolding exactly the way he proposed it from the beginning, from the foundations of the world. Listen to something. Ephesians 1 says, "We were chosen in him before the world was even created. We were in the mind of God to be saved by faith in Christ." That means God knitted together Satan's rebellion, Adam and Eve's sin, the fall of the human race, and the death and crucifixion of Christ, all seemingly troubled events, to save us before he created us. Can you possibly imagine that? Know who you are, who we serve. This God, before we were even a thought, it was already part of his plan. Nothing comes to God by surprise. Didn't you know he knew Satan was going to do what he is going to do? All part of his plan. We have to realize this is training ground for us. This is not our home. These are training days. And until we realize that, worry and fear will continue to conquer our lives because we don't understand. And it's right here within his word. Amen. Here is a perfect example of God working all things together for his good, as Romans 8:28 tells us. Unlimited in power, unequal in majesty, not dwarfed by anyone outside of himself, our God is in complete control of all circumstances, causing and or allowing them for his own good purpose and plans to fulfill exactly as he has foreordained. Finally, number 4. How can I learn to trust that he is in control and then rest in it? Yes, I believe God is in control, but so many things in my life, how can I rest in that? How can I get strength from that? that he's in control. The only way to trust in God's sovereignty is control and rest in it is to know God, to know his attributes, to know what he has done in the past, and this builds confidence in him. Daniel 11 and 32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great deeds. Now, I want you guys to imagine something. Imagine that kind of power in the hands of an evil, unjust God, or a God that really doesn't care about us. But we can rejoice in our God's sovereignty because it is overshadowed by his goodness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness, and his holiness. But we can't trust someone we don't know, can we? There is only one way to know God, and that's through his word. There is no magic formula to make us spiritual giants overnight. No mystical prayer to pray three times a day to mature us, to build our faith, and to make us towers of strength and confidence. There is only the Bible, the single source of power that will change our lives from the inside out. But it takes effort, diligent everyday effort, to know the God who controls everything. If we drink deeply of his word and let it fill our minds and hearts, the sovereignty of God will become clear to us. And we will enjoy it. We will rejoice in it because we will know intimately and trust completely the God who controls all things for his perfect purpose. If God is totally in control, I must ask the question, what do we fear? If you know within your heart God is in control, why do we worry? Every single day of our lives, each one of us go through something so differently. And by week's end, we're either concerned about something that we have no control over, okay, and it drains us. This fear comes upon us. Excuse me. It comes upon us. And he simply tells us, why fear? If God is in control and we know that within our hearts, what brings these things upon us? Is it the level that we're on in our Christianity? Is it the walk that we take with our God? What is it? For he tells us clearly not to worry, not to fear. I want to go through some scriptures with you, and she's going to put them on screen for you. I'm going to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the New Testament to the Old Testament. And these are scriptures letting you know who our God truly is. Proverbs 19 and 21. There are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Romans 8 and 28, I already read. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Joshua 1 and 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be there dismay, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thy goest. God is with us no matter where we go. Sometimes we can't feel his presence, but that doesn't mean he's not there. No matter where we go, he is with us. He said it within his word. Isaiah 45 and 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that thou is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Matthew 19 to 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We puzzle in our mind that this just cannot happen. This is not going to take place. I can't get through this. Well, because we think as human beings, God said through him, all things are possible. I want you guys to think about something. Every aspect and every temptation, every step that you have went through within your lives, God has brought you through. Hasn't he? Has he ever failed you? So why would he start now? When you face different situations, those are building blocks. That's to take you to a next level within your spirit, within your walk with God. Look back and draw strength from where you came and what he has done for you in the past. Amen? Dwell upon that. Isaiah 55 and 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We cannot fathom what God thinks or what God do. We like to, as I mentioned earlier, man creates his own philosophy when he doesn't understand God. Doesn't he? If I don't understand something and I can create something that will allow me to understand it, that will put into perspective from my mind, instead of just taking God's word for what it is and trusting in God. Well, I don't know that God. Proverbs 16 and 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Oh, God don't create wicked. We serve a good and loving God. God controls every single thing, whether it be evil or whether it be good. It's all part of his plan. All part of his plan. Psalms 22 and 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Isaiah 41 and 10, fear thy not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Job 12 and 10, in whose hands is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Psalms 15 and 3, but our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Ephesians 1 and 11, in whose also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God don't have a board of directors that he goes into the room and discuss plans with to get ideas from. He is the counsel. His word stands. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11, thy, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there has no temptations taken you by such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that thou may be able to bear it. God would not place anything upon us that we cannot handle. And he will give us an escape. Realize who we serve and realize who you are and stand in it. Stand strong in it. I want to read something that's not on screen. Philippians 1 and 6. Turn to Philippians 1 and 6. This is God's promise. Being confident of this very thing, that ye which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God's promise to complete what he started in your life up until the day of Christ returns. He's building us. He's getting us ready. He's going to take us to places that we can't possibly imagine if you allow it. Quit fighting his word, trying to figure it out. If he wants you to figure it out, he'll give you the knowledge to figure it out. He'll let you know. But trust in him that it's all for the good, for you and me. Why do we fight? Why do we ponder over situations, especially situations that we have no control over? Look at the end. It's already been won. Our names have already been written. I just read we've been chosen before the foundations of the world. It's done. All we have to do is walk in it. But so many things catches our eyes, take us off course. Turn us to Romans. This is my last scripture. Turn to Romans. Chapter 5. Romans 5, starting with the third verse. And not only so, but we glorify in tribulation also. We glorify in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shedded abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's word let us know what's going on in our lives and the promises that he has made within us. Amen. I want you guys to rest assured on something. How many of you believe that God is in total control? Let me see a show of hands. That he controls everything. Okay? If he controls everything, I ask, how many of you believe this? What God creates never dies. What God creates never dies. Our idea of death is totally different from God's idea of death. It lives forever. It's just the destination place of where it's going to live eternal. That's the choice. We do not serve a God that does not like to have a good time. He's not a killjoy. When I encourage loved ones who have lost their loved ones, I let them know that's not the end. We're going to see them again. I got to love to have a good time that he's promised us 1,000 years before we even start living eternal life of celebration. 1,000 years of celebration. That's how much our God likes to have a good time. And we must celebrate. Celebrate in knowing that this is just a training ground for us. These are training days for us. That's all it is. That's all it is. We must trust in God in our everyday lives that no matter what we go through, no matter what comes our way, no matter what temptation comes our way, okay, trials, tribulations, we must rest in him and trust in him that it's all for the good and it's working out for our good to finish something that he started within our lives. Amen. I want to thank you guys for this morning. I know I'm not pastor, okay? And I know you probably was expecting to see him this morning. But I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity to share God's word with you. There's something precious about God's word. That's why when you speak of them and you talk about them and you discuss them with other individuals, sometimes it can go on and on and on and on. It's just something that builds up into your spirit. He's pure joy. I guess that's what you can say. That's why he's so much fun to talk about. Because when you think of his goodness and what he has done, it's just incredible. Last weekend, I went to the show with my mom and my in-laws, and I took my kids, and we went to see War Room. How many of you saw that so far? If you have not seen it, go see it. It is worth it. It is worth it. I'm not going to give anything away. You have to see it for yourself. But it is worth seeing. Nothing like it. People, I just want you, I love you so much, and I want you to understand who you are. We are sons and daughters of a king. A king that cares so much about us that he went away to make a place especially for us. Oh, we can imagine the most beautiful place on this earth. But let me tell you, it won't compare to what he has for us. It will not. He has things that we haven't begun to not only see, but even to understand. You know, we was studying the book of Job a few weeks back, and it concluded with the various things that God was asking Job. But one of the things that he brought up was a beast. And this particular beast, man couldn't even touch without harming themselves. God was describing this beast. This beast's outer skin could not be pierced. There was nothing that man can possibly do to defeat this beast or to kill this beast. The description of this beast was so incredible, it was hard to believe. It was from like a Hollywood scene in a sense. You would probably think of as a dragon, but didn't say it was a dragon. The Bible mentioned a dragon. So if it was a dragon, he would state that it was a dragon. But this particular beast was God's pet. He regarded it as his pet. That's how powerful our Lord is. I just want you guys to understand that. Don't place him in a bottle. Don't limit him. He is unlimited. And if you allow, he will show you that within your hearts and within your minds, if you allow it. But we are our biggest obstacles. We won't believe it because man said it's not true. And how much we listen to the news and the papers and the magazines and the internet. It's not going to get any better, but it's all part of God's plan. And us being believers, why should we worry? Why should we worry? Take that off of you. Place it on him. Let him worry about it. He controls everything.